Well, after trying and failing three times to get her Brexit deal through Parliament, Theresa May said today it is in the best interest of the UK for a new Prime Minister to lead the way. So she said she'll be stepping down as party leader on the 7th of June.
So I am today announcing that I will resign as leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party on Friday the 7th of June, so that a successor can be chosen. I've agreed with the party chairman and with the chairman of the 1922 committee that the process for electing a new leader should begin in the following week.
Mrs. May grew emotional as she spoke about her time in office and her track record, and she said she was proud to have served her country.
I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold. The second female Prime Minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
And that was Theresa May speaking in Downing Street this lunchtime. Our London correspondent Fiona Mitchell is with us. And Fiona, very hard watching Theresa May today not to feel sorry for her. Clearly she was emotional at the end. A lot of talk about compromise, but in many ways you could say that the tears and the talk of compromise came 3 years too late, and she could have done with following her own advice a lot sooner.
Yes, well, I think that there were probably people who would have seen the response of Theresa May today and say that that's not the kind of emotion that they have seen from her during her time as Prime Minister. And some people suggesting that actually that is the kind of thing that if they had seen, if she had been more open and more emotional, that she might have got this process a bit further. I'm not entirely sure that that was true. I think you can probably suspect that Theresa May will be slightly disappointed that she broke down in that way at the end of that speech, and I'm not sure that this is a process that more emotion thrown into the middle of it would have helped any further. It is already emotional enough, the subject of Brexit in Westminster, but as you say, Anya, she spoke about the idea of compromise, the need for compromise. If she was sending a subtle signal to whoever will take over from her, it remains to be seen as to whether they will have picked up on it.
There's to be a new leader by the end of July. What exactly will Theresa May be doing between now and June the 7th?
Well, she will be a caretaker Prime Minister, so she will continue in place. She will have quite a busy time, it must be said. She will be welcoming the US President Donald Trump on his first official state visit to the UK. He has been here before, but not on the more elaborate state visit. She will also have D-Day commemorations as well in early June, so she will have a busy time. And a lot of people felt that that was really why she gave that date of June 7th, because she wanted to oversee those major events rather than stepping down immediately. But she will in effect be a caretaker Prime Minister. Given the kind of deadlock and stalemate there has been in Westminster for many months now, there are a lot of people here saying that she was in effect a caretaker Prime Minister anyhow, so it is a continuation of what has already happened. But of course the race to succeed her is now the primary focus. Moves very, very quickly from the end of Theresa May's premiership onto who exactly will be heading into Downing Street after her.
And already, I mean, there's been a fairly open contest going on, many people hardly hiding their ambitions. From Andrea Leadsom to Dominic Raab to the man everybody talks about, Boris Johnson, it seems pretty clear whoever takes over will be a much more hardline Brexiteer than Theresa May herself.
That certainly seems to be the position at the moment. But what you have to remember is that a leadership battle like this and a leadership contest can be very, very unpredictable. And certainly British politics right now has no shortage of unpredictability factors going on in it. Whoever gets through, and there's really, think about it as kind of two points that they have to get through. The first is getting through a round of balloting by MPs themselves. And the second then is going to the Conservative Party membership more broadly. Now, once it reaches the Conservative Party membership, the sense is that you probably would be looking at people looking for somebody who is much more a hardline Brexiteer. Getting through MPs, you will have to try and have some kind of common ground. You are going to have to offer something that can attract people on both ends of the spectrum and in the middle. And this, again, is where the difficulties will arise, because that has always been the problem with Brexit. There is such an unwillingness to compromise on each end of the spectrum. Both sides believing, those who want a hard Brexit leaving with no deal, those who want to frankly remain within the EU, both sides still believing that maybe they can get what they want, and as a result not moving to the middle. Now, whoever runs, whoever gets the leadership, is going to have to find some way of attracting at least elements of both of those groups. That will be no easy task.
Fiona Mitchell, London correspondent, thank you very much indeed. And our political correspondent, Paul Cunningham, is with me in studio. Interesting, this development today. And again, what Fiona was saying about we're looking almost certain now to have a more hardline Brexiteer Prime Minister taking over. And interesting, in light of the Cabinet discussing the fact that no deal is now a higher risk than in the past couple of years. That's where we're at.
Certainly. We did get some indication of this on Sunday when, using very strong language, the Taoiseach Simon Coveney spoke about the fact that there was rising chances. He's criticised British MPs for not seeing the light, that a compromise was required, and then was also very strong in saying it doesn't matter who becomes Prime Minister, the withdrawal agreement will be there and you can go off around the country, but ultimately you're going to have to come back to that fact and face that fact. Today was interesting that Leo Varadkar, when he was speaking just after casting his ballot, said that he wanted to pay tribute to Theresa May, and that he pointed to some success that they had secured between them, particularly on the issue of the common travel area between the Republic of Ireland and the United Kingdom, and this was something which would survive. But then he went on and talked about the very dangerous period which lies ahead for this country, the rising risk of a no-deal Brexit, and the preparations that the government needs to put in place to ensure that those damages could be ameliorated, those damaging effects could be ameliorated in the population. So very dangerous. That's quite a phrase to use.
In fact, we're going to bring you some of the political reaction there have been from the party leaders this morning. Here is the Taoiseach speaking after Mrs. May's resignation.
As anyone can see, British politics is consumed by Brexit and will be consumed by Brexit for a very long time. It means that we now enter a new phase when it comes to Brexit, and a phase that may be a very dangerous one for Ireland. In the next couple of months, we may see the election of a Eurosceptic Prime Minister who wants to repudiate the withdrawal agreement and go for a no deal, or we may even see a new British government that wants a closer relationship with the EU and goes for a second referendum. But whatever happens, we're going to hold our nerve, we're going to continue to build and strengthen and deepen our alliances across the European Union, and we'll make sure that we see Ireland through this.
That was Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, and much of the same sentiments reflected in what Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin had to say.
We've had numerous attempts to try and get some coherent consensus on Brexit in the British Parliament, and it hasn't happened. The British Conservatives have torn themselves apart on the European question. Historically, it's been an issue over 30 years within the Conservatives, but now seems to have reached a real crisis point for them, almost existential perhaps. And that remains to be seen. And obviously all eyes now will be on the election to succeed Theresa May, and the type of person that will emerge, the views of that person in relation to Brexit, and therefore the implications for Ireland and Europe.
And Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald also focused on the succession, saying a change in Prime Minister did not guarantee new clarity on Brexit.
I think the change in leadership and the change at number 10 Downing Street doesn't in and of itself give us any more clarity or any more certainty. We're certain only of one thing, and that is that the basic protections contained in the backstop are the bottom line for all of us. And that's the case whether the Tories are led by Theresa May or by Boris Johnson or by somebody else. And it is the case irrespective of who sits in 10 Downing Street. And if the Tories think otherwise, well, then they're very much mistaken.
So that's a flavour of some of the political reaction here in Dublin. Let's talk a little bit about the reaction in Brussels, Paul. They'll hardly have been surprised by the fact that Theresa May was quitting, that it's been known that was inevitable for weeks now. The anticipation of her successor.
I think what they're going to do is stand back, because they already know what their position is. Their position is, number one, don't be a scapegoat for any discussions as the British Conservative Party chooses a leader. And then the second thing to point out, whoever comes from London to Brussels to say, here's the deal, it's been negotiated, it's finalised and it's not going to be reopened. And at that point, that new British Conservative Party leader is at the fork in the road. Do they, as most likely is a strong Brexiteer, try and use that political station and status that they have to drive a compromise through, saying, I, like you, was a Brexiteer, but I now have a realisation that we must compromise. Use that position, be a leader, or do they take the other fork in the road to say, right, we're off? And one can't forget that this isn't just a British decision. There is a deadline for them coming to some form of finality on where they want to have the relationship with the European Union. We've got that Halloween deadline. We know that the French President Emmanuel Macron is already tired of the dithering that's happened in the UK. So it's also possible from the EU's point of view that they would say, we've given you enough time. Good night and good luck. I think that's unlikely, but it's possible.
It's interesting. I heard there's been a lot of discussion in the UK media. They're back to talking about alternative arrangements. They're presuming already that the next leader, whoever succeeds Mrs. May, will be negotiating with the EU in September. The view from Brussels, negotiations are done. We don't care who the personality changes. Is that a fair summary?
Absolutely. And it's crystal clear from Dublin, the withdrawal agreement is the beginning, the middle and the end and will not change. And that confidence that they're able to say that is that they know they've got the backing up in Brussels. They're not going to start all over again. They're not going to reset the clock. There is not going to be a new beginning. There is not going to be a negotiation. They're going to have to choose.
And there's going to be a showdown by the sounds of that. One other question, Paul, before we look at voting going ahead here. The issue of the DUP, of course, and their confidence and supply arrangement with Mrs. May, when she's pretty much done most of what they've wanted her to do, will it be as comfortable automatically with a successor, even if they're a dedicated Brexiteer?
Well, we know that some of the dedicated Brexiteers travelled over to Northern Ireland with a view to supporting the DUP. Someone would imagine that that closeness relationship will remain. I think what any new leader will be watching out for is that whatever loyalty the DUP has to the British Conservative Party, they also know that the union is of a higher status. So if they believe that they're being sold out by the new leader, well, they're going to call them out on it and they're going to try and do something about it. So they may be friends, but there's an element and a concern there at the same time.
Yes, what is it in politics? You always, the worst enemies are on your own side.